You're listening to SBS News.
Nearly a month after Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine, Australia has granted almost 5,000 Ukrainians tourist visas, processed in as little as 24 hours in some cases, to allow them to travel to Australia. Over the weekend, Scott Morrison confirmed the government will offer that group a 3-year temporary humanitarian visa, allowing them access to Medicare, work and study. Mr. Morrison says at this stage, there will be no cap on the number of these visas offered to Ukrainians, as the UN says 3.27 million have fled Ukraine and a further 6.48 million are internally displaced.
750 people, I'm advised, have already arrived of that 5,000. We'd obviously expect more to be arriving. And we are prepared to meet the demand. We haven't set a limit on this. I've said we'll do what we need to do. What is interesting, though, in my discussions with European leaders is that many of those who have become displaced, their intention at this time, as we understand it, is to remain in Europe largely with the hope and expectation of being able to return to their homeland. That is what they want to do. Now, undoubtedly, there will be a call on both humanitarian visas around the world, including here in Australia, and we will play our part in that.
The Temporary Humanitarian Stay, or Safe Haven Visa, was created in 1999 to offer refuge to those fleeing during the Kosovo conflict and also the civil unrest in then East Timor. Paul Power, CEO of the Refugee Council, has welcomed the use of temporary humanitarian visas for Ukrainians who may decide not to apply for permanent protection in Australia and instead return home if they can, but says what is different this time around is the way tourist visas were used for those who may seek refugee protection.
So I think this is the first example that we've seen for some years where the government has waived its usual concern about the possibility of people using tourist visas as a way to get to Australia or apply for asylum. You know, what's happened up until this point is that people have actually had their tourist visas rejected on that basis, which of course has led to the situation where people have to find ways of entering the country without a visa. And given the regulation of air travel, arriving by boat has been the only option that people have been able to see for themselves.
He says while the use of these visas for Ukrainian refugees is appropriate, it has also raised concerns about the need to respond more quickly to humanitarian crises in other parts of the world, including Afghanistan, Myanmar, Tigray and Ethiopia.
There's an absolutely clear need for Australia to be offering a much more significant response to the people of Afghanistan, and given the demonstrated need, but also because the overall refugee and humanitarian program has been cut substantially and the 28,000 previously budgeted places have been lost in less than 2 years, it means that it's much less possible for refugees from other parts of the world where the need for resettlement is just as compelling. We've provided fewer permanent refugee places than we have, you know, for decades actually, at a time when the international need is overwhelming and that needs to be addressed.
More than 190 community groups that are members of the Refugee Council have banded together to renew their call for the federal government to return the humanitarian program to the 2013 annual level of 20,000 places. It's currently capped at 13,750. Shabnam Safa from the Afghanistan-Australia Advocacy Network says 7 months since the fall of Kabul, up to 5,000 Afghans in Australia are in the process of being settled and are also still waiting for the outcome of their permanent protection application.
That work has still been very slow. Many of them have just only now found permanent accommodation. Many were suffering quite a great deal of shock and trauma when they arrived, and the settlement service agencies are doing their best at the moment to resettle those, but we do fear that with the new arrivals from Ukraine right now that those resources are quite stretched to be responding adequately to everyone's needs at the moment.
The Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade says it is processing refugee visa applications for more than 150,000 Afghans since the fall of Kabul 7 months ago. a total of 15,000 places for Afghan refugees within the current humanitarian and family visa programs over 4 years was announced on the 21st of January 2022. Australia has approved close to 4,500 temporary protection visas and safe haven enterprise visas for Afghan nationals as at the 31st of January in 2022. There is also a group of between 4,000 and 5,000 Afghan refugees and asylum seekers who are part of an older group of arrivals who have been barred from seeking permanent protection as a refugee in Australia because they arrived by boat a decade ago. Ever since then, they have been on temporary protection visas that they have to renew every 3 to 5 years. Zaki Haideri says the restriction on sponsoring his family, knowing the danger that they face from the Taliban in Afghanistan, is hard to face, and not having the ability to plan for the future on a temporary visa has resulted in 10 deaths among Hazara refugees over the past decade.
The situation is dire in Afghanistan. We don't know how long our families have to survive. We keep calling them every day, every few hours to check in with them. I am physically safe. There's no Taliban to kill me, or there's no one else in that matter to follow me or to kill me. Physically, I'm safe. Mentally, I'm not safe. I don't have a future to say, you know, I will live here permanently. Therefore, I'm not in any risk.
Asylum Seeker Resource Centre Director Jana Favero says the speedy response to help refugees affected by the conflict in Ukraine has shown the federal government can move quickly, and some of that energy needs to be applied to helping refugees fleeing humanitarian crises from other parts of the world.
The government is actually responding to Ukraine crisis at the moment adequately. They got people out quickly, and they then heard feedback from the Ukraine community that people weren't being supported when they arrived, so they've changed that situation. The comments I've seen coming from Alex Hawke and Scott Morrison in response to Ukraine, I feel like I could have drafted some of it. It's amazing. Medicare, access to income support, Centrelink, kids going to school, torture and trauma, it is fantastic. But what is devastating is we're not applying the same thing to people from Afghanistan. They have no information, they have no increased visas, people who are here don't even have permanencies.
Murhari Burha from the Australian Tigrayan Alliance says he has attempted to raise the plight of those affected by the Tigray War, which erupted 16 months ago. He hasn't been able to contact his family in Tigray due to the blockade.
I don't know where they are because I don't have any established communication. And the last time I spoke was maybe a year now. Oh, it's heartbreaking for us. Not only for me individually, but for our community here in the Australian Tigrayans. Our fellows are being killed due to the war or due to the famine. Our sisters, mothers are being raped. With that, the community's emotions is at the lowest point now. And we need that support as well.
With the federal budget and federal election approaching, Ms. Favero says the hope is there are no cuts to the humanitarian program and that call to lift it to 20,000 places is heeded.
As to what happens with our intake overall, it's really anyone's guesses. It has ping-ponged up and down over successive years, but at the end of the day, we are at our lowest intake in 50 years, and that's a shame on us as a country when people are being persecuted more than ever. And there are so many displaced people in the world.
Hannah Kwon, SBS News.